Hi, I'm Katie Lauer, and my guest tonight is Bobby Osborne. We're talking with Bobby this evening about the Osborne Brothers hit song Rocky Top. Rocky Top is bluegrass at its best, and Bobby Osborne is one of the best of the bluegrass artists, the personification of the high, lonesome sound in singing, and one of the most influential mandolin stylists in the business. He was born on a farm in Hyden, Kentucky in 1931, making him 86 years old this coming December. Is that about right, Bobby?
That's Pearl Harbor Day, that's right.
You must remember the war.
I remember President Roosevelt. We had a battery radio, I guess, back then. I remember President Roosevelt getting on the air and declaring war on the Emperor of Japan. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was 10 years old when that happened.
Well, you left Hyden, Kentucky, where you were born, about 75 years ago. I wonder if you remember that day as well.
Oh, yeah, I sure do. The only thing I really hate about that moving off right then, and I had a dog that I wouldn't have traded and took anything in the world for, and I had to leave her. I couldn't take her with me till we moved to Ohio. But I do remember that day very well. It was cold and in the wintertime, too.
What was your first musical hit with the Osborne Brothers?
First one we had was Ruby. It came out in 1956, I do believe, and it did real well. And it was, do you remember Cousin Emmy?
I remember Cousin Emmy.
She recorded that in somewhere around 1935 on Decca Records. And so in my hometown of Hyden down there, her recording of that was on a jukebox. And my mom's sister lived nearby, and I spent a lot of time there. I was born there in Hyden, but we actually moved over on what they call a Thousand Sticks, which is 4 miles across a mountain. But I spent some time with my mom's sister and this little restaurant that had that song by Cousin Emmy on the jukebox. It played all day long and every day. And so just by listening to it, I just learned the words to it when I was about 7 or 8 years old then, I guess. But I remember that song all down through the years. Never thought about ever singing it or recording it or performing it at all. And it so happened that way on later in my life, while my brother and me recording for MGM, while we were looking for some songs to sing, and that one came up, and I was able to sing it. That was the first recording that he and I made together on MGM Records. And
I heard that record. I was in high school in Huntsville, Alabama. We listened to a station called WEUP, and they would play Ruby, and you better believe we'd be up at that hard-driving bluegrass. That would really make you get up and go and get ready for high school. Did you come from a musical family?
Yeah, my dad, on my dad's side, he was the only one out of all the kids that could play and sing. And he, of course, he back those days, he followed Jimmy Rogers all the time. But on my mom's side, why, she had 5 brothers, and they all could play something on an instrument, you know. So I actually had both sides of the family, and it was just a must, I guess, that I do what I did. So,
what was your first instrument?
The guitar. My dad showed me 3 chords on the guitar, and I took it from there. Nobody to this day has ever showed me anything else. I just learned myself by watching other people and listening and all that. So, and I got real interested in the guitar when I was about 14 years old, I guess, and singing too. So, and I used to listen to the Grand Ole Opry all the time, and that was about the only thing we had to do back in those days. And so somehow or other, I just got tuned into Ernest Tubb, and my voice was fit pretty good what he sounded like back then. And I learned a lot of his songs and tried to imitate him as much as I could. And by doing that, I learned how to play the guitar. And, of course, then I wanted to learn how the guitar player played the breaks for Ernest on between his verses and the songs, and I learned how to do that. And then from there on, I went on to play the guitar for 3 or 4 years, and I always liked the fiddle tunes, Sally Gooden and Fire on the Mountain and all of those. And you remember Hank Garland, the guitar player?
Absolutely.
He was my idol, and I I heard him play some fiddle tunes on the guitar, and I took that up, and I always liked those fiddle tunes, and I learned to play them. And of course, my dad had a fiddle around the house, and I messed with it all the time. And then later on, when I got into thinking I was a pro anyway, I went to Bluefield, West Virginia, and Jimmy Martin and me got together up there, and he played the guitar, and I was playing the guitar, so he told me, he called me Sport all the time. He said, Sport, he said, the tenor singer is supposed to play the guitar, the mandolin. And so I told him, I said, I don't know what a mandolin is. I don't know nothing about one of them. I finally got a hold of one of them. And of course, back then, there was only two or three mandolin players in the country that people could listen to. And that was Bill Monroe and Jethro Burns. And a little guy played with Reno and Smiley for a while.
What about Jesse McReynolds? Wasn't he around about that time?
Jesse was, he and I was pretty close together trying to learn how to play. When I got my hands on a mandolin, I liked it because it noted like the fiddle, and I was always good with the flat pick, so I didn't have much problems with learning the mandolin. But now Jesse came along about the same time. Jesse's only about 3 or 4 years older than me, so he came along about the same, maybe a little bit before me, so... He was working on his style while I was trying to learn all them fiddle tunes on the mandolin. It was easier to play the fiddle tunes on the mandolin because it was so much like the fiddle. So I got to start playing the mandolin probably about 1949 or 50, something like that.
Well, you were kicking around this part of the country when you came up with the high lead singing style with Red Allen. Then you went on to release Once More. Is that about right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We were doing more of the Monroe, Flat and Scruggs type harmony up until that time. And Sonny and Red and me were playing clubs around Dayton where my dad had moved to in previous years when we left Leslie County and hiding. And Red Allen, he came along just pretty close to where Sonny and me were from. He's from a place called Pigeon Roost, which is around Hazard, and we came from Hyden, which is only 25, 30 miles away. And we got together singing in some clubs up there around Dayton, and we knew a DJ up there. His name was Tommy Sutton. He was on a radio playing country music, and we went over to his house one day and did some playing for him, and he said, if you guys will play my train fare and get me some songs, I'll make a trip to Nashville. And he said, I know some people. I might be able to get you a recording contract. And we did that right at his house. And Ruby was one of the songs that we put on the tape for him. He went to Nashville. And when he came back, he said, I've got you a contract with MGM Records. And Wesley Rose, who was Fred Rose's, was his dad. He said, I think they're going to take you all. So then we came up, Sonny and Noah Crace. I don't know if you remember him.
Banjo player.
Yeah, he was. And Sonny and him got to play in Ruby for the two banjos. And so we had mentioned to Wesley Rose that we had two banjos was going to play them. So he said, I've never heard of that before, and it's never been done, so that's what I want. So about a month before we was going to go to Nashville, we got to looking around for Noah Crace and couldn't find him with a search warrant. And I was familiar with the banjo a little bit. I'd never tried to play one in front of anybody, but Sonny reached me a set of picks and a banjo, and he said, you got about a month to learn how to play Ruby because we got to have that contract. And so I got busy, and I learned how to play Ruby on the banjo. And I saw that on the original recording of it, why, that's me playing the banjo with Sonny. So,
well, that's a nice little nugget of information. When Rocky Top came along, how did you get that song?
We were recording, by that time there, we had switched from Make Up Rose over to the Wilburn Brothers, their organization, Surefire Music. And so we had signed a contract with Decca Records. And so we were just looking for some songs. We were going to do a session one day and just looking for some songs. And we had recorded, you remember Boudreaux and Felice Bryant, the
yes.
Songwriters? They had written a whole bunch of songs that we had recorded before. And we were looking for another song to record. We had three. And, of course, back those days, you did four songs was like a session of records. You tried to get four songs in 3 hours if you could. Sonny went over to Boudreaux's house. We lived right near him in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Sonny went over to his house and was looking at some songs. And he had Rocky Top. about halfway finished, and Sonny called me, and I went over and listened to it, and I thought, boy, it just sounded like a song we could do. And I mentioned to him that if he could finish it by the next day, we were going to record. And so he finished it. We took it to the studio and recorded it the following day. And, of course, and the rest of it's history from there, I guess.
Did you have a feeling it was going to be a hit song?
Oh, no. No, when I first heard it, I thought we had done a song called Roll Muddy River, which the Wilbur Brothers had recorded previous to us. So we arranged it a little bit different from the way they sing it. So when we heard Rocket Top, I thought, boy, we could do Rocket Top exactly like we did Roll Muddy River, and that might make a good recording. So Bootlow was singing it, the words fast, and then the music was slow. So we changed it. Wilbur Brothers were singing Roll Muddy River that way also. So we speeded up Roll Muddy River. We sang the words slow and played the music fast. And when we got to Rocket Top, I thought, boy, that'd be the way to do it. So that's how we did Rocket Top. And it caught fire, and we recorded it and never knew. It just sounded like a regular old song to me. But about that time is when Ralph Emery had the all-night show at WSM. And back those days, too, if you could get a slow song, a ballad, if you could get that in the charts, it would stay longer. And that's what we were trying to get done. So my favorite memory was on the back side, was the A side of that recording. And Rocket Top was the B side. So we went up to visit Ralph Emery one night, and he had been playing the A side at WSM. And we weren't even members of the Opry then. But yes, we was. I picked that back. We was. And just visiting Ralph, and he said, well, I've been playing the A side. I'm going to play that B side one time. So he turned it over and played Rocket Top, and his switchboard just lit up right there. And that was the last of favorite memory of Rocket Top. It became the A side after that. Yeah.
And favorite memory, such a great song.
That's why we picked it out, because it was such a good song. And we thought if we could get it in the charts, it would stay there longer, you know. But Rocket Top, when Ralph, he was the first guy to ever played it on the air, I guess.
Rocky Top is the state song of Tennessee and mm-hmm. the fight yeah, yeah. song of the Tennessee Volunteers football
yeah,
team.
Sure. Basketball. They played it both football and basketball. Yeah, it became the state song, and that happened in 1982, I think, between Boot O'Brien and State Senator Tommy Cottrell. They got together with Dr. Julian at the University of Tennessee, and they had a vote. And all Tennessee's got 88 counties, and all the counties but one voted yes for Rocket Top to become a state song. And of course, since that, I don't ever go anywhere or anything. I sing Rocket Top everywhere I go.
Do you know how many bluegrass bands burn out on that song? In the first place, it was a hard song to do. It was hard for us. It was easy uh-huh. for you. But then people would ask for it continuously, over and over again. They would ask, play Rocky Top. There was a uh-huh. band, they wrote a song called Play Rocky Top about this band going to the county fair. And people, oh. all they'd request was Rocky Top. And that's the way it was with most bluegrass bands about Rocky Top. It kept us in work, but you got tired of playing somebody else's song all the time.
Yeah, that's very true. And I learned later down the road, the more people that sang it, the more popular it got, too.
Right. Well, congratulations on the 50th anniversary of Rocky Top. It came out on Christmas Eve, 1967.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. And you know another thing about that, I'd never heard of a song being released on such an important day as Christmas Day, you know. I never heard of another song being ever released on that day, and I suppose they have been. But at that time, I had just never heard of that, so I was just curious about it. Everybody said Rocky Top came out on Christmas Day, and I put a letter into Decca Records and asked them for a printout of all our release dates and all of our songs. And sure enough, when I got the letter back, it was posted on the schedule of releases that they sent me, Rocket Top was officially released to the public on Christmas Day of 1967, and I don't know, it was a good Christmas present.
Yeah, it was a great Christmas present.
Great Christmas present, anyway.
Tell us about your new CD, Bobby.
I'm very proud of it. It was produced by Allison Brown. She played the banjo on it, and she picked all the songs out for me, and I've been nominated for 2 awards on it at the IBMA convention this year. So,
lots of stars playing on it with you, aren't there, Bobby?
Yes, they sure are. Allison played, she played the banjo on some of it, and Rob McCurry played some of the banjo on it, and my son Wynn played on some of it, and Ronnie McCurry and Sam Bush and Sierra Hill played mandolins on it, and then had Buddy Spiker and Matt Combs playing those fiddles on Make the World Go Away.
Oh, that's a pretty song.
It's a beautiful song. That's one of my favorites, and I always wanted to record that song for years ago when it first came out, and I never got a chance to, but Allison mentioned that, and I just jumped at the chance to record, and it turned out real good. But I'm so proud of that CD. And
what's the title of the CD?
Bobby Osborne Original.
Thanks again for talking with us, Bobby.
All right, Kate. It's good to talk to you then. Thank you for calling me. Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Bobby Osborne, who's a bluegrass icon, in honor of the 50th anniversary of his legendary song, Rocky Top. You'll find a link to Bobby's website at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Katie Lauer.
Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top, ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half bear, the other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop, I still dream about that. Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Once two strangers climbed old Rocky Top looking for a moonshine still. Strangers ain't come down from Rocky Top, reckon they never will. The corn won't grow at all on Rocky Top, dirt's too rocky by far. That's why all the folks on Rocky Top get their corn from a jar. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top.